Welcome to The Glow Up. I'm Bianca Likes, and this is our AIR VIP Power of Women mini-series, where we're sitting down with some of the country's best and brightest female entrepreneurs. We'll be finding out how they built their businesses and the secrets to their success. The Glow Up podcast is brought to you by AIR, Ireland's number one business broadband provider and title sponsor of the AIR VIP Publishing Power of Women Awards. AIR's purpose is to connect for a better Ireland, and as Ireland's largest telecommunications provider, they are committed to delivering the best broadband and mobile experience empowering small businesses right across the country. Power your way through the working day with Ireland's most reliable broadband speeds, only with AIR fibre broadband from just £34.99 a month. Pair that with the best 5G network availability on AIR Business Mobile, and you'll stay connected wherever you go. To find out more about AIR Business, visit air.ie/business, go into your local store or call one of their business specialists on 1800 220 200. Kim Sullivan, winner of our New Founder Award for Brow Aid, welcome to the VIP AIR Power Women podcast this Monday morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. And thank you for joining us on Monday, because Monday is like, jeepers, it's a weird day to get going. You've got, I'm sure, a very, very busy house at home. So what is Monday morning like in your house?
Monday morning and every morning is busy, but I always kind of say a little happy prayer that busy is good, and ultimately my busy is just three kiddies running around the house frantically trying to get ready for school, all while myself and my husband get ready for work. So it's chaos, but it's I wouldn't have it any other way, Bianca. So the kiddies are gone off to school and I'm actually working from home today, which is so nice.
Lovely, lovely. What age are the kids?
My youngest, Indy, is just gone three. I have Alex, who is almost five, and Callum, who's 14. So between the hormones and
14.
the toddler tantrums. Yes.
Now, as the new founder winner of 2023, that means that the anniversary of your first product launch is coming up soon.
It must be. Yes, I can't believe it. I was actually only saying that to someone the other day, Bianca. I was talking with my PR agency and we were talking about how we might be able to anniversarize. I can never say that word, anniversarize the first birthday. And I can't believe that a year has passed, because obviously before the launch itself, it has been like a few years in the making, you know, in terms of the development and manufacturing, etc. So the year has just, I suppose that year kind of had rolled into the previous years in the making of the brand. So it's been the fastest year, but the most incredible year, to be honest. And we're only getting started, and we've achieved so much. So I feel like it's been the most incredible year
for the brand. Yeah. I mean, it's Brownie is growing faster than you can keep up. Like it's having massive growth. I mean, why do you think that is? Because there's a lot of product on the market.
Yeah. I think there's a few answers to that question. I think first and foremost, it's a brand dedicated purely to brows, you know, all things brows, from brow styling to optimizing the health of your brows. And ultimately, why it's a brand that stands out so much is, apart from being one that's it's dedicated to that one thing, it's created by a brow artist. So it's a range of products that just work. They're results-driven products. They're user-friendly products. They are such incredible quality products. So they work for everybody. They're so stretchable in terms of who they're suitable to, because they are suitable for everybody, whatever age the customer may be or whatever the brow concerns may be. So it's just a brand that works. It's a beautiful brand, and it's been so well received. Anyone who's tried it has replenished, you know, has repurchased. So I think, to answer your question in short, it's growing quickly in that it's a beautiful brand, but it's created ultimately by a brow artist, which I think is such a unique selling point.
Now, as you said, it's been a phenomenal year and you've been received so well by everybody. Because it's been such a big year, it may appear that it seems like it's been an overnight success. But as you said, of course, it's been a long slog to this point.
Yeah.
I mean, just to give your backstory a tiny bit and you can then flesh it out for me. But you started in Armani Beauty and BTs years and years ago. You went out on your own in 2014, set up the Dublin Makeup Academy, took a basement house on Fitzwilliam Square, and now you're the entire second floor of Fitzwilliam Square, and you had three kids while doing this. Mm. So it's been kind of, I suppose, two decades, really, to this point.
Yeah, it's... I think why Brow 8 has, again, kind of, it stems back to your previous question also, that it's been such a success because it's ultimately been like 20 plus years in the making since I established myself as initially a makeup artist and then evolved into a brow artist. So it's been the most successful year, but that's been the backbone of what's been years and years of building a really loyal client base, you know, that trust me and trust my advice and my opinion. And when I began my career in Brown Thomas in 1999, I was a makeup artist. While going to college in something totally different.
What were you doing in college?
I was doing travel, tourism, telesales and language.
Oh, wow.
So I thought I wanted to travel the world and learn loads of languages. And when I was working part-time in Brown Thomas, I always loved people, Bianca, and talking to people and learning about and listening to their stories. So when I went into Brown Thomas, it was a part-time job to keep me going while in college. I just fell in love with, I suppose, customer relations or just talking to people and recommending products to them. I always loved makeup. So when I started in Brown Thomas, those two passions just merged. It was just an organic thing. I just fell in love with sitting a client down and putting makeup on them and talking to them and listening to their stories. And I was so blessed because while working in Brown Thomas, they could see this kind of passion I had for makeup and for customers, just talking to customers. So they so kindly sent me on makeup training. I was going to say a makeup course, but at the time there were no makeup courses. And Pat McGrath was actually the creative director at the time. So I was so lucky that I got to like train alongside her and learn from her. And then after her, Linda Cantello, who in the makeup world, these two women are just powerhouses. So I learned from the best, but it was just pure luck and just being in the right place at the right time, I suppose. So I stayed in Brown Thomas with Armani for many years until 2014, when through things that happened in my life, I just knew I had to move on, which we'll probably chat about in a few minutes. So Brow 8 has been years in the making, but its success is, you know, the foundations of its success is the incredible relationships I built with my clients.
Wow, that's some answer. There's so many questions in there that I want to ask. And when you say that originally the love came from sitting there with clients in Brown Thomas doing their makeup, listening to their stories. I mean, listen to your story there. It's just absolutely so fascinating. There's a few things I want to ask. The first thing I'm going to ask you is about Pat McGrath. So can you tell our listeners, can you give a little bit of a background to what Pat does and what she's so famous for?
So she has her own brand now, which is a global phenomenon, Pat McGrath Labs, which is the most incredible range of makeup, foundations, eyeshadows, everything. She's just a powerhouse in herself. She's so acclaimed and just I think, again, why she's been such a success is because if you meet this woman, she's just like a ray of positivity and sunshine and just the most beautiful human. Like I I still remember so vividly meeting her because she was just the most beautiful soul. She just radiated kindness and presence. You know, if she was talking to you, she was talking to you and only you. Just a beautiful person. I remember when we first got to sit down with her, she was telling us to ditch all our brushes and put makeup on with your fingers. And when you're taught how to do makeup, it's obviously with brushes. And even on the Armani counter, we sold brushes. They came, you know, you buy an eyeshadow and you essentially try to upsell the brush. You know, this is how you would apply your eyeshadow. So she went against that and said, no, just use your fingers, you know, the warmth in your fingers is, it's the best tool you can use. And I remember at the time thinking, oh my goodness. An incredible woman. And she went on then to work with Tom Ford, and just a phenomenal success story. She created the Luminous Silk Foundation, which is Armani's hero product and probably one of the most popular and one of the most well-known foundations on the market.
Wow.
So she makes incredible products as well as touching lives.
Touching lives. So that's so interesting that you say that, what, you know, when she talks to you, you feel like she's, you know, you're the only person in the room. And I wonder, did you inherit some of those by observing her work? Did you inherit some of that into your own life? Because you are very one-on-one. I mean, I would feel that way when I talk to you, that I am the only person in the room. So were you like that beforehand, and or did you observe and put that into your own life?
I mean, it was a joy to watch her, you know, how she communicates and interacts with people. But 100%, I get it from my mom. My mom is the most incredible woman, Bianca, you could meet. She's been through so much in her life, which is a whole separate podcast. And she's so resilient and just such a beautiful, kind soul. And she always taught myself, my sister, to be that way. You know, when you meet someone, you never know what they're going through. You know, on the outside, outwardly, they could look like the happiest person in the world, but inside they could be broken, and they just need a smile or like just a little act of kindness. So I definitely get it from my mom. You know, whether it be in my Armani days or when someone comes into me in the Dublin Makeup Academy or one of my students, I will always try to be as personable as possible and just to understand that person and listen. That's the best thing you can do, isn't it? To listen to someone.
I'm thinking about beauty, makeup, not necessarily beauty, but makeup papering over cracks to make us feel more pulled together in the world. Does that impact on you in any way, that statement?
Even though cracks, oh my God, you're perfect. I love the way the makeup industry has gone, especially in recent years, and that it's all about enhancing your natural beauty, you know, not covering it up. Actually, I met Mr. Armani had a famous quote that always stuck with me. It's called, it goes like this: beauty isn't about being noticed, it's about being remembered. And it all goes back to the makeup you wear, that it shouldn't be like a canvas that covers your natural canvas, essentially, that it should just give you that little boost of confidence without covering you entirely, like you said, like polyfiller, covering your cracks. It should just enhance your beauty. And that's really where Brow Aid is. The premise behind Brow Aid is products that are really easy to use that just make your brows look better. The tagline actually is your brows, but better. So just enhancing what you have and not trying to, I don't know, build a whole new brow that just doesn't sit well on your face or lend well to your features, you know, just enhancing what's there. And that stems to, you know, whether it be brows or the foundation that you wear, less is more, I think. I mean, in saying that, whatever makes you feel most confident and comfortable. Some people love to wear loads of makeup, and I think it's all about building your confidence.
What makes you feel most confident? Like, what do you wear yourself?
I definitely wouldn't leave the house without my brows. I do brows every day. I teach brows. I eat and sleep brows, but my own brows are just, they've always been so stubborn to grow. So I would never leave the house without brow products and my mascara.
Right. And what foundation do you wear?
At the moment, it always changes, but at the moment, and for the last while, I'm on my third bottle, is the House Labs. It's actually Lady Gaga's range of products, but they're like all science-based products. They have technologies in them to like comfort and hug your skin and like condition your skin and nourish your skin. So they're skincare-based products. They just the most beautiful foundation. It's the nicest foundation I've tried in years. It's gorgeous.
My gosh. Lovely. And what about blusher and highlighters and stuff like that? Do you do all that on the run in the morning or no?
Now I have, Bianca, like 6 minutes to get ready every morning. So I've got it down to fine art. I always, even years ago when I would have done makeovers in the BTs or when I did weddings, whatever it may be, I would have always said, you know, you have to detox or declutter your makeup bag every season, you know, like in the summer and in the winter. The products you use might change slightly, but you shouldn't have a bag like bulging with products. There should be just like 7 or 8 core products there that all serve a purpose, that if you've got an eyeshadow or an eye pencil that you might only use once in a blue moon if you go out or for whatever reason, just take it out of your everyday makeup bag, like declutter it and just have in that bag what you use every day. So in my makeup bag, I've got my primer, my SPF, my foundation. The blusher I use, I always go back to it, the Bobbi Brown Fresh Melon. I have a powder, I have my mascara and my brow products and a lip gloss, and that's it. So I'm not rooting around looking for products. Everything in it, like I said, serves a purpose. I might change the colour slightly every now and again, but I'll always take out what I'm not using.
That's really interesting because my makeup bag upstairs, it's actually a Skin Ingredients beauty bag. I got it for Christmas.
Gorgeous.
It's a red one and it's big. It's probably should be used for Skin Ingredients products. So, and they're a bit bigger, as you can imagine. So, I have so much makeup in that bag that I can't find anything any morning. And I'm rooting and everything, the lids. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to declutter. That's a great tip.
You need to declutter. Yeah. And you probably have stuff in there that's out of date that's been sitting in there for 10 years. So, yeah, you need to detox your makeup bag.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to do that after this call, and that's what I'm doing. So that decluttering of the makeup bag and simplifying your makeup bag, does that also apply a little kind of an analogy for your life maybe? I wonder, are you good at decluttering and simplifying your life too?
I really try to because I have to. I've got the three kiddies. I have Brow Aid, I have the Dublin Makeup Academy, and then I have a Febrow Training Academy. So I've essentially three children and three businesses. And I have to, but I am good at it. I think I get that from my dad. He was an army man. He was a sergeant major. So he was a tough man. Like he was meticulous and he had rules and, you know, you just get stuff done. You prioritize things and you get I'm good at getting things done quickly, Bianca. And now, sorry, in saying that, I'm sitting here in my house and it's upside down and there's stuff all over the place. With regards to my routine, you know, my work life, my work and home, I'm good at kind of trying to keep on top of them.
Very good. Now, I'm going to go back to something that you said when we discussed earlier on, and I said there's loads of points there I wanted to go back to. You mentioned that there was a turning point when you had to, or when you decided it was time to kind of leave VTs and go out on your own and set up your own business. So
yeah.
What happened? Was there something
so
that prompted that?
I had, in 2019, I had my firstborn. I had Callum, who is now almost 14, mm-hmm. sorry, nearly 15. I was working, like I said, in Brent Thomas. I was there full time, really happy. I loved my job. But throw into the mix a little human that you have to keep alive. And financially, mm-hmm. I was just broke. And really struggled. I was a lone parent. I was in a relationship. I fell pregnant and it just didn't work out. And it was myself and Callum essentially against the world is how I would put it. And it was just really hard in so many ways, to be honest, you know, financially, emotionally, the wage I was getting just it didn't serve me well. Like I couldn't pay the bills that I needed to pay, and I loved working in VTs, but something had to give. And it's really hard to make a decision where you know you need a stable income, you need a wage, you need to know that you have money to pay your rent and feed your baby and to keep going. But if I had kept going the way I was at nearly at breaking point. I was emotionally and physically exhausted as well because I was working there full time. But to ensure that I wasn't kind of exacerbating all my money on childcare, I was working all the really unsociable hours. Like I would do the Sundays and the late night Saturdays or the late nights during the weeks. That my mom could help out and that I didn't have to pay the childcare fees, if that makes sense. But that really paid a toll on just my mental state and just emotionally and physically. So I remember walking home. It was a Friday evening. No, sorry, it wasn't a Friday evening. It was like a Thursday evening because I was getting paid the next day on the Friday and I had no money. Mm-hmm. It was torrential rain and I had no money to get the Dart home. I was walking home. Jesus. It was torrential rain. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget it because that was the moment that I said, this can't keep going. I'm just broken in every way.
Yeah.
And that weekend I said to my mom and my sister, I have to hand my notice in on Monday. And they're like, Kim, you can't. What are you going to do? I was like, I don't know, but I'll make it work. I have to make it work. Because I know I can't stay there as much as I loved working there. It just didn't serve me financially, etc. I went into work on the Monday and handed my notice in. And I really believe like everything in life, you know, most trajectories in life begin when, you know, you've got a struggle or the most testing times in our life. I really believe put us in the directly, I suppose, in the path to the most amazing things happening. Now I know at the time I didn't know what was going on. I look back now and I have built this beautiful business and a beautiful family, but I know if I hadn't have made that decision on that horrible rainy dark day that I wouldn't be where I am today, if that makes sense. So I handed my notice in and I had a month to sort things out in terms of like I had no business plan, Bianca, obviously. I didn't know what a business plan was. And I just had to make it work. I rented a chair. I said yes to every single job, whether it was 5 a.m. in the morning or 10 p.m. at night. Callum would come with me in the little maxi cozy car seat. And I just kind of, I suppose, leaned into it and just let it happen. And I was very lucky that it did work out, that my clients, like osmosis, they just kind of found me and followed me. And it just grew organically, which was so special. And so amazing. But I suppose I took the risk and it's worked out.
That's such a great story. Wow. Now, I mean, it's an amazing story to listen to. And I mean, I know you've reaped the benefits and you put the work in. So
yeah.
Things look good now. But at the time, I mean, it's easy for me to listen to it, but it must have been so difficult. It must have been such a difficult time for you before you made the decision and took the leap.
Yeah.
Even actually in the growth period, even in the growth period when you were trying to establish yourself and do something. How long did it take then before kind of you felt like things were going somewhere?
I was very lucky. I think because I had spent so many years nurturing such gorgeous relationships with my customers, they followed me, they found me, and within a few months, I was renting a chair in the most gorgeous little salon off George Street. It was called The Hive. The Hive is still there. The most beautiful girl called Karen owns it. She was, at the time when I needed somewhere to work from, she allowed me rent a chair downstairs. And within a few months, I'd kind of outgrown that. I needed my own space. So I went then to Fitzwilliam Street Upper, which is where I still am now. And I was renting a tiny room in the basement. And within a year of that, then I had to take that whole space down in the basement. And then within like 6 months, a year after that, I had taken the ground floor and the first floor. It happened very, very quickly. And at this stage, I was teaching as well. So I was doing my brow clients during the week, and at the weekends I was teaching semi-permanent tattooing. So it happened very quickly, but it was years, I suppose, in the making of building these relationships with the customer. But I was also working like 7 days a week from like 9 to 9. It was like really relentless, but I loved every second of it, you know, because I knew I was doing it for me and for Callum to better his life. And that's ultimately why I had to leave BT's. So all the work in building the Dublin Makeup Academy and my training academy, it was lots of work. And I mean, I had to sacrifice loads, you know, at the weekends or like family events, but it was all worth it because I was able to give Callum, you know, that safe place, a home and stability, and I knew I could pay bills. Whereas rewind 2 years, I could hardly afford loo roll. I had to rob it from my mom's house.
Oh my gosh. Amazing that, you know, Callum is so much part of your story, of Browaid's story, of the Dublin Academy story. And he was the impetus, really, that drove all this. Is he very proud of what you've done? I would imagine so.
I am. I'm terrible for, you know, giving myself a tap on the shoulder. But I am. It's only when you sit down and have these little conversations that you do realize, you know, everything that you have done. No, I am. And do you know what? Callum's amazing. He, like you said, he's been such a huge part. He was by my side quite literally for a few years. I had to bring him into work at weekends, etc. Yeah. So like my clients now would have remembered him when he was in the car seat, you know, when I'd have to bring him into work.
Yeah.
So he's grown as the business has grown. And it's so lovely because in school now, he's in second year, and in business, he's uses the business as his like case study, and it's so lovely to see that.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
I have a hairdresser who's done my hair for 30 years, and she was a single mom, and she's well used to bring her son with her to all appointments, so he spent all his time with women Following his mum around in car seats and then the whole way up. Yeah. And now he's a big lad now. Like he's 24, 25, I think. And he joins us here for Christmas dinner and stuff like that.
Oh, my goodness. Because,
yeah.
I need to meet your hairdresser so we can have a chat.
I'm telling you. I know. I always think it was such a good upbringing in a way, yeah. because I just think it's good for kids and for men or for young boys to be part of a working female community to see what women do and what they have to do and that they just have to row in and be part of it. You know, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good baseline for life, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's just when you're saying that about your hairdresser son and the same with Callum, my son, I know I get that from my mom because it was always, you know, well, from when I was in third year onwards, it was just like myself, my mom and my sister against the world, essentially. Like I get a lot of, those traits from my mom, you know, the, you know, just pushing forward and like working so, so hard and trying to better my life for my children or at the time my child, because my mom had to do that and I saw how hard she worked, but ultimately how those sacrifices did pay off. So it's been like full circle, I suppose.
All of this makes your kind of, well, makes what you said after you won the Power of Women Award back in November makes a lot more sense, because I'm going to read what you said in your Instagram post, which was, I'm immensely proud of what I've created. I've poured my whole heart, all my knowledge and expertise and my life savings into creating beautiful products that address all your brand concerns. So all your life savings, yes, like you put everything into this business.
Because when I started working on BrowAid, it was when COVID hit. So before then, I was, I suppose, working in my business and not on it, in that I was always in work. I was always in the salon doing brows. So when COVID struck, my whole business had to shut down, the teaching academy or the training academy and the salon. So I had a choice. I was like, okay, I need something more than a service-based business. I need the product, which I'd always wanted to do, Bianca, anyways, but I just didn't have the money to do it. So it's like, okay, so COVID has struck. My businesses have shut down. I have this free time. Do I take the risk? I have savings. Do I use those savings and take the risk and work on the brand? And that's what I did. So had it not worked out, I would have been broke. But I knew, I genuinely, without sounding too cocky, I knew it would work. I knew I was going to create a beautiful brand, you know, of brow products. But it is that fear, you know, and you have to put a lot of money into it. Like factories have MOQs and there's so much to it. So it was a big risk financially. I said, I had that time because my business was forced to close. So
So in that same piece, you also said, and I pulled this out because I think it's interesting for people that are starting out with their own ventures and ideas. And you said, start small, do your research. Google is amazing. Easy to find manufacturers these days. Believe in yourself. Be true to you. Lean on your friends and family, which you have, to encourage and support you, because it's not easy, which we know it's not. And spot the niches in the market and stick to what you know best. Spot the niches. That's a really good one, because you really did spot a niche with BrowAid. Like, obviously, there is a lot of brow products on the market now, but it was kind of, it's a new, within the last 5 years, this kind of focus on brows.
Yeah. There's a lot of brow products, but a lot of them are like embodied within a brand that's like color based. So like you'll have brands who do, you know, color foundations, eyeshadows, skincare, and they introduce a brow product and gorgeous brow products, but they're not brow specific, or, you know, like I said earlier, they're not brow products created by a brow artist who knows the needs and wants of it, or what works and what doesn't work for a client. And there's very few brands that are just brow specific. Mm. I can't think of any, actually. I know Anastasia started out with brows, but she's evolved into color and, you know, bases, foundations. So yeah, that's very exciting, and it definitely it's been I suppose a warm welcome in like, it's been so well received by the likes of Brown Thomas and that, because there's nothing else really like it at the moment. And then what you were saying about when you were reading through back over the post, you mentioned about having the belief. I think believing in yourself is so important, isn't it, Bianca? Whether that be in, you know, taking a risk career-wise, or whatever it may be in life, I think you have to just believe in yourself, but more so, you have to believe that you deserve that, you know, thing that you're wanting or that you're dreaming of. Mm. Or you just have to believe that you are so deserving of just only good things. And I think if you believe that...
It's hard, that, though.
Very hard.
I think it's hard to believe in yourself, isn't it, though? Like, I mean, like, you think, why am I deserving? You know, why am I more deserving than the person next door or the person down the street? And when you have an idea, you get an idea, you think, I think this could work. I think this might work. But then you have a doubt an hour later, and then you have a doubt the next day, and then somebody says something about, oh, that'll never work, and you'd lose your confidence and you lose your faith in it, and you give up. And I mean, it's so hard to believe in yourself.
So hard. It's very hard to believe in yourself. It's like going to the gym. You have to constantly work on your mental state and, you know, your self-belief. Like every day, just reaffirm to yourself, like, I am a good person and I am deserving of all these good things, just as much as the person standing beside me on the dart or wherever it may be. And like you were saying, if you got an idea and you're like, oh, I don't believe myself enough, what if it doesn't work? Or, you know, if you tell someone, they're like, oh, no, you're crazy to do that, Bianca or Kim. Mm. But I think if you get an idea, someone once said this to me, and I still use this kind of little roadmap, that if ever I get an idea, or if you got an idea, Bianca, you operate in sprints. So you get an idea and you think, oh my gosh, this is the best idea. And if after a day or 2 days or a week or a month, it still nags at you, like you're still thinking about that idea, you have to give it a go. Like, give it the sprint that it deserves. Like, throw everything into it, you know, give it 100%. And if it doesn't work out, so be it. But you gave that you gave that idea a go. So operate in sprints with your ideas.
Yeah, I use that. I like that. That's very good. Now, you say there's much more to come. So what else is in the pipeline for BrowAid going forward?
So we obviously have loads more beautiful product launches. So I'm going to say loads more. We don't have loads more, because one of the main thing for me is creating a brand that isn't overwhelming and that isn't confusing, that it's your go-to brow brand, but, you know, caters to your brow concerns, but specifically so that there isn't, you know, an array of products that you think, oh God, I don't even know where to start. I'll have a few more product launches, the most beautiful products, but there won't be a continuous kind of momentum of products, because you can only do so much, can't you, with brow products? My focus is to create the most gorgeous quality products that just work for everybody. So I have a few more product launches and collaborations coming up. And just to focus on like going into more retail settings, so it's more accessible.
And tell me, have you a big market outside of Ireland?
It's so interesting. My husband is a huge part of the business. You know, he has his own full-time job, but he is So it's part of his DNA now. He's like brow aged to the core. And every day when we sit down and look over, Shopify is the shopping platform that we use. And you can see globally who has shopped your product. And it's so interesting right. because at the moment, 35% of our customer base is the UK, which is so interesting. Yeah. And the US is really growing. I think we've been very lucky, Bianca, that a lot of really famous makeup artists and influencers in the UK and in the US are continuously using our products. So when someone like, let's say, Nikki Makeup or Hung Van Gogh uses your product once, it's brilliant, yeah. but they've yeah. used it a few times. So for their following, they're seeing that they're using this product brow aid, you know, more than a couple of times. I think that's been a huge part of my growth across the pond. So the UK is a big market for us. Like we're going to go in, we need a fulfillment center over in the UK. So yeah, it's really interesting. And the US as well.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, this morning someone in Hawaii bought the products.
What? Oh my God, that's so exciting. That is brilliant. In Hawaii. Wow.
Yeah.
Tell me, who does your husband's brows?
Oh, it's so funny, Bianca. Every time I see him do it, I say, I need to record you doing this because like he gets the kitchen scissors and cleans this and like wets his finger and moves the hairs and cuts the really long. I've never touched his brows. He doesn't. He just said no. I've always done it this way, and it only takes me 2 seconds. But it is the funniest thing, and it's so hard for me to stand there and watch because we've and we've a lot of gents that come into us. So I've done men before.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Oh, very good.
I'll do Callum's brows, or actually, he'll be able to do his own.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd be well able. He's been trained from birth, so he's well able to do his own, I'm sure. Talk to me about don't you do tattooing of areolas for women after breast cancer? Is that correct?
Yes, so that's the areola reconstruction, which is, if no one's familiar with it, it's a tattoo essentially. Or I'll have a client come in and she's been through her journey and been so brave, and she's had her surgery done, and she has the implant, two breasts that when there's no nipple there, it's like, I'd say if it's like a face with no brows, it's like it's incomplete. Mm-hmm. So they're coming in, they've had their surgery done. Obviously, they're delighted that they're on the other side of it in terms of recovery, but they still don't feel right. Mm-hmm. They can't look in the mirror without thinking, oh, God, this doesn't look right. So what I do then is I tattoo on what looks like a real, like nipple areola. It's like, I guess they call it like a 6G reconstruction. That looks as lifelike as can be, I suppose. So I love doing it. My gosh, it's so special and so emotional to do it. And, you know, it takes quite a while. It takes about 3 hours, and then they come back for a top up, which is another couple of hours. So it's very intimate. Like you're sitting there with someone and they're telling you about their incredible journey they've been on. And then you give them this gift and they're just so happy. So it's so special. It's for me, it's like therapy. It's just my little thing. It's my little way to give back. But it's so rewarding for me. Like, it's so special. I wish I could do it more, Bianca, but just the time, it's so hard. But it's really sad because I wish more people did it. It's so needed. It's like so many people want it done. I have hundreds of people on my list who want it done.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I'd say there's many tears in that treatment room from the client and from yourself after, during and after that process.
Yeah, it's so special. Like, but really happy tears. It's a two-part treatment. So after the first treatment, it's always me crying. And then when the client comes back for the top-up and they tell me how much it's boosted their confidence, they're bawling, they're crying. So it's so special for us both. And then you build that gorgeous relationship and then they'll continue to come into you, you know, to see you, whether it be for their, you know, their brow tidies or... It's so special.
Talk to me about brows after chemotherapy. What can you do there?
So we do, it's called Fee Brows, and Fee Brows is a semi-permanent tattoo treatment. So when you say tattoo, to a lot of people that can sound scary, like I don't want a tattoo on my face, but it's semi-permanent. So it's not a permanent feature on the face, which is so nice. It might last a year, a year and a half, and then you get your little top-ups. So a client will, they have lost their brows through chemo, and oftentimes they don't grow back. They're very stubborn to grow back. So they'll come into us and we'll do the Fee Brows. It's where we create these hyper-realistic hair strokes using a microblade, a tiny, tiny tool that allows us draw on these hair strokes. We use a pigment, a vegan plant-based pigment. So it's not an ink. So it's not going to sustain under the skin for years and years and years, which is so lovely because your face changes so often. So it's amazing for them because they come in with no brows and then they leave with these perfectly formed brows that are, you know, in terms of how we decipher the shape, we map out the shape in accordance with the morphology of their face or their bone structure, that not only do they have two brows, but they've two perfectly symmetrical brows that just align beautifully with the face. So it's such a gorgeous treatment and looks really natural. Like when you think of brow tattoos, oftentimes people think, oh, really dark, heavy, you know, black brows, which is not the case. It's such a delicate result.
That's incredible. wow, such fulfilling work and so rewarding. I can absolutely imagine. And I've no doubt that you would love to be doing more of those, given the fulfillment that you would get.
And you know, Bianca, with brows, it's so much more than just a tint and tidy. What, like, we've clients come in every 5 or 6 weeks and they're coming in obviously to have their brows look lovely, but it goes far beyond that. It's like a therapy chair. They're coming in and they look forward to these appointments because for some it might be a half an hour away from their baby and they just need that break. Or for others it might be that they work from home and they don't get to come in and like talk to a lot of people. So it's therapy for so many people. Like, it stems far beyond just a regular tint and tidy, you know? And I think that's how we've built such a loyal, you know, client base, because I'm so aware of that, that we're not selling services or treatments. We're selling an experience. Like, and we care. Like, you come in and you leave with beautiful brows, which is a bonus. But, you know, they're seen and they're heard and we listen. And, you know, you build these gorgeous relationships. You learn about, and like, their family and, you know, things that are happening in their life. So every day is so gorgeous because you come into the Dublin Makeup Academy and people will always say it's so bright and airy. It's such a beautiful space, but it's a happy space. Like, you can feel the warmth and the happiness and the calm when you come in.
For you, this is the dream job, the dream business, I guess. It all came from the heart, because, you know, it all came from you and you are all heart. So congratulations on your brilliant success and on winning our new founder award for 2023, and long may the success last and continue and grow. And we wish you all the happiness going forward. Thank you so much for joining us on this podcast today, Kim.
Thank you. And thank you all there at the publication for the support and for acknowledging me. And the award sits so proudly on the fireplace in the salon. I'm so thankful for your support and for having the chats with me today.
Before we go, thanks again to our sponsors, AIR, Ireland's number one business broadband provider. Head over to air.ie/business to find out more about their unlimited business broadband from just £34.99 a month.